Michael Sean Dugar joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Michael, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. Yeah. Do we have anything to talk about? I'm not sure.
Yeah, everything's so quiet and buttoned up here in Arizona. I mean, you're in the eye of the storm there in Seattle. Was any of this evident during this? I read the piece and the way you tell the story about how things transpired or fell apart, especially leading into that Cardinals game and Russell Wilson storming out of the room. But was any of this really evident from the outside during the regular season?
Yeah, you know, I think it was. It was one of those situations where you had to really read between the lines and really look for the breadcrumbs. You know, like someone in Russ's camp pointed out to me something that I had known, but it's an example of a breadcrumb that you wouldn't think of unless you're really tuned in to the dysfunction. They said, go back and find any time that when they were playing, that when they were letting Russ cook, whenever Pete said that was Seahawk football. When did he ever refer to it as that? He never did. I mean, I didn't have to go back and watch every press conference. I know he didn't. But now what happens when they're running the ball and playing defense and that's how they're winning games? Pete refers to it as Seahawk football, right? Like whether Pete wants to admit that or not, that is his, like, that's his way of like not being all in on let Russ cook. And if you're the guy whose name is in the middle of the slogan, you interpret that as you're not all in on me. And that's not something that you just watch a Seahawks game on Sunday and you put that together, right? You'd have to be like some evil genius to figure all that out. But when it was brought up to me, I was like, well, you know, that does make sense. And it's one of those things where you really had to be plugged in. Otherwise, you're just watching and thinking, oh, Russ is really good. His O-line stinks. You know, the sky is blue, grass is green. Like, that's just kind of how the world goes.
Right.
You know, death taxes and Russ with a bad O-line. But, like, when you really dig into the comments of Pete, comments of Russ, look at some of the transactions that the team has made, you know, look at how angry Russ looked at the Super Bowl, and everything comes together, and it's like, oh, no. This was all out in the open already. We just added a few little details, and then now, like, the world's on fire.
Yeah, right. Well said. To me, that scene in the Super Bowl was almost comical in real time. It was like, why is Russ so angry? He's got a suite for the Super Bowl, for goodness sake.
Just won it, man of the year.
Right, exactly. and then to hear it laid out about what he doesn't have in relation to what Tom Brady was given to win his Super Bowl, it was interesting. So when you handicap this, where do you think this thing is going? What does Russ truly want, just from your intuition?
I mean, not even from my intuition, man. He wants to win. Right? Like, Russ had a son in July. It's his first biological son. He named the kid Win. And, like, Russ let us know what he wants more than anything in the world is to win. And I think the Super Bowl was the trigger, not only because he wasn't playing in it, because of who was. I think that's something that, again, until it was brought up to me by someone at Russ's camp, I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. You know, who did Russ lose to the last time he was in the Super Bowl? Tom Brady. Right? And who is he sitting there watching however many years later in the game he wants to play in? It's Tom Brady. Right? If Tom Brady can get back there, why not me? Right? So I think the only result that fixes this is getting back there. You got to get back there. And, I mean, if you're in one of those situations, it reminds me of, I'm sure everyone saw The Last Dance. I think they opened that documentary about MJ. Before the 1998 season, it was basically like, we got to win the championship this year or this all goes to hell. That's kind of what it feels like. You know, this is the Seattle version of The Last Dance. If they don't get back to the championship, I don't know how many people are still on the Seahawks payroll, you know, this time in 2022.
Michael Sean Dugar, who writes for The Athletic, he is our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. He also hosts the Seahawks Man to Man podcast. A lot of this came to light when the week of the Super Bowl, Russell Wilson did kind of the media tour and openly talked about being sick of getting hit and the 400 sacks, and he's on pace to become the most sacked quarterback ever to play the game. And there's different schools of thought, and I think you hit on one of them. And that is, offensive line-wise, the Seahawks don't have a solid history with Russell Wilson as their quarterback. But when you break it down, how much of that is Russell Wilson culpable for? His style of play leading to sacks and the physical punishment he takes?
When there was the first report, I think it was when Russ went on like Colin Cowherd's show, I sent out a tweet with three notes. I was like, everyone keep these things in mind. A, sacks are a quarterback stat. B, the Seahawks are very bad at finding O-linemen. Three, or C, it's going to be a very long offseason. All of those things are true, right? And they're going to continue to be true, especially point number three, as everyone's learning who covers the Seahawks. Like, Russ does play a style of football that lends itself to a lot of hits and a lot of sacks. Also, the Seahawks keep giving him bad O-linemen. Like, that's really why I think there's such a stalemate, because they're both right. Like, if you're Russ, and it's like, hey, man, you keep giving me former power forwards as my left tackle, and then the Seahawks are like, well, you keep doing triple axles in the backfield, so you're taking all these sacks, and they're just staring at each other, right? Like, then you can just get nowhere. And Russ is like, well, why don't you let me help find me some good O-linemen? And, you know, they're like, well, trust the process. I was like, well, the process keeps getting me hit by Aaron Donald, you know, a bunch of times every year, mm-hmm. and then they just stare at each other. Like, right. Both sides have great, you know, perspectives, I think, and that's something we tried to convey in the article, is that we don't care who's right. It's just that one side has a view, the other side has a view, and they can both make points. And if they cannot just let bygones be bygones or agree to disagree and, you know, get along, play nice, then, yeah, this is just ultimately going to end in a divorce.
This is fabulous analysis, and I'll tell you, I had no idea Russell Wilson named his son Wynn. That is just a classic detail. What do you make of the Adam Schefter tweet that IDs four different teams as places he'd agree to go to?
Yeah, that was – we actually, to pull back the curtain a little bit, we kind of were struggling with how to word the trade request part and the teams being listed, because Schefter's right. He hasn't requested a trade, like, or demanded one, you know, the words we're used to hearing in sports. It's more like, hey, you know, we ain't requested one, but, I mean, now that we're on the subject, here's four teams where, you know, we go. And it's like, I almost responded to Schefter's report saying, we're like, guys, this is a trade request.
Right.
You know, like, that's what a trade request would look like. It goes back to something, I think we use this line in the story, another full transparency. I haven't read it this morning. I've just been a little too busy, but there's a line in there from Brandon Marshall over at Fox. He says, I think Russell's trying to figure out a classy way to move on. And that line stuck out to me because, yeah, it's not the traditional, hey, let me stomp my, you know, feet and, you know, do the James Harden so they trade me. It's more of a calculated effort to make it look like, all right, if I am out of here, it's because they didn't want me. You know, whereas a trade request is, I don't want you. It's mm-hmm. semantics for the most part, but, like, as you can see, like, we're dealing with two very calculated groups here.
Yeah. New offensive coordinator there in Shane Waldron coming over from the Rams. Does that make a difference in appeasing Russell Wilson in your mind, or does it still fall under that whole umbrella of Seahawks football and Pete Carroll rules so they do what he says?
Yeah, it's always going to be what Pete says, and I think that's another issue that Russell has. You know, that's why we included the part about Pete's son just quitting his job a couple times, you know, in the middle of the season. He's supposed to be coaching the receivers. You know, like, if Russ has all these complaints, and, you know, who can he go to? Mm-hmm. You know, I asked Pete Carroll during at the end of the year, I said, hey, man, who can be honest with you? Who can hold you accountable? You know, because he doesn't have a boss. He was like, well, you know, John Schneider, who Pete helped hire. Oh, my two sons. Well, those are your kids. Oh, Carl Tater, our former quarterback's coach. Well, you fired Carl. You know, it's just like you're naming people who can't actually be real with you. And if you're Russell, someone who wants to be real with him, it's like, well, where do we go, you know, from here? So it's like it's such a difficult situation over here right now. Like, it really is. I try not to be too doom and gloom and, you know, like,
right.
be fear-mongering to the fans. But, like, how else can I put it right now? The quarterback and the coach can't coexist. Like, that's a very big issue.
Yeah, very, very big. So how is this playing out in the Pacific Northwest? Because, you know, Pete Carroll has been a constant. Russell Wilson's been a constant. How is that? I mean, this is almost like a Belichick-Brady thing light.
Yeah, it's very similar. I was just going to use that same analogy. It's very similar. Or I was talking to one of my friends this morning. I was like, it's kind of like Game of Thrones. Like, you're either rolling with the Starks or whatever the other people's name was. I can't.
Lannisters.
That's going to bug
me. Lannisters.
The Lannisters.
The Lannisters, right.
Yes, thank you, guys. The Stark, you're either rolling with one. You can't roll with both. You know, you got to pick Pete or you got to pick Russell. And there's kind of like a Seahawks Twitter civil war going on right now for people who are like, Pete's the winningest coach we've ever had. He brought us a Super Bowl. He drafted Russell. He drafted the Legion of Boom. He traded for Marshawn. And then there's the other side. It's like, well, we didn't actually have a winning record with Pete until Russell showed up. You know, he's the best quarterback in franchise history. He's our most important player. You know, like, it's again, both sides make a lot of points. It basically is a whole war going on. My mentions are on fire. I had to basically turn my Twitter off. but, yeah, it's just a big civil war going on, like Pete versus Russ. And ultimately, it's only going to be one of them here at the end of the day. Is the end of the day this season? Is it next season? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I really don't think you can have both of them here when they both want so much control over what the on-field product looks like.
What does your viewpoint tell you? Who's left standing?
I mean, that's a good question, because like I said, Pete doesn't really have a boss. Like Jody Allen, the sister of the late Paul Allen, officially owns the team, quote unquote, but like I ain't heard from her. I don't even know what she looks like, to be honest. Like I ain't heard her voice before. She ain't done no Zooms, no conference calls. She don't tweet, no press releases, nothing.
Yeah.
So we don't know what she feels. But for me, if you ask me, I would rather have the quarterback. I think it's a lot harder to find a franchise legit, can be your guy for 20 years quarterback whose ceiling is legit best in the league. Like, that's his ceiling. Even if he's not there right now, that's his ceiling. I can find another coach. Why can I find another Pete Carroll? No, because Pete Carroll is also a Hall of Fame coach. But I can find someone that Russell meshes with better if I'm going to choose Russell. Whereas if I choose Pete, like, again, Pete had two losing seasons before Russell got here. So, like, who, you know, the chicken or the egg type of thing. But I think I'm going to go with the quarterback in his prime over the 70-year-old head coach.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Michael Sean Duggar. Great article. Really good stuff with us, too. We appreciate your time, man.